production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. And we have actually everybody who's supposed to be here is in the studio today on this Monday. So good way to start the week. It is Veterans Day. And, remember why today is a holiday. Those that have served and, given the ultimate sacrifice for us to be able to do what we do in this country. So welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. It is Bill, Brian Matthews, and B-Matt, again, thanks for helping out on Friday.
It's great.
Brian Matthews. Dan is back.
I'm here.
Yeah,
guys.
He's coming around. He's got to get some refreshment there. But Dan is back after his trip nationwide this past week from Buffalo to Bozeman, Montana to Denver to I don't even know where they were. When we last talked to Dan, they were trying to find a way out of Denver. But they did. They've made it back. And Dan is here in the studio. And Drew is at the controls. So we've got the regular crew here on a Monday edition of The Drive. And there is an awful lot for us to talk about. You don't need it yet, but a little ambiance. Dan cutting a little light on. Because it gets dark. Yeah, it will be dark by the time we're starting hour number two here this afternoon. But a lot for us to talk about. Got to start with basketball after Auburn's very impressive win in Houston against the Houston Cougars team that was ranked number 4 in the AP poll. And that's where Auburn is ranked, by the way, in the coaches poll this week. And number 5 in the AP poll after Auburn wins 74-69 on Saturday night. And the Tigers atop the KenPom rankings as well. They moved from number 2 to number 1 after that win over the former number 1 KenPom team, Houston. So a very impressive performance by Auburn basketball on Saturday night. And
I think it's the best win of the Bruce Pearl era in the regular season. I think there are conference games that come to mind. There are two games during that 2020 season where the postseason was canceled. The victory where McCormick had the buzzer-beating layup against LSU, and then when they went to Tennessee later that season and just stomped a really good conference championship-level Tennessee team in Knoxville. There are some great wins. Those teams weren't in the top 5.
No.
For Auburn to – it's not just Auburn's first win ever against – a top 5 team in a non-conference regular season game. It is that. Right. But it had been decades since Auburn had beaten a top 15 team in the regular season. Like it had been a long time since Auburn had beaten it had been a while since Auburn had beaten anyone in the, of the caliber of Houston in a non-conference. I mean, Auburn beat Louisville in the 90s in a non-conference game. You got to go back a while.
You got to go way, way back.
But, it was a remarkable performance for a variety of reasons. Not just that Auburn was a little bit shorthanded. I know that's the story that's attracted a great deal of attention over the last couple of days, and it's not totally irrelevant. But I also think that the story of Auburn beating Houston isn't just the Friday night incident, involving the private plane. I think it's also it's also a tremendous performance offensively and defensively against a really good team. And I mean, you could pick either Janai, who had one of the best games he's ever played in an Auburn uniform despite missing his free throws and despite missing all of his 3-point attempts. I mean, he still goes 10 of 11 from 2, and there's so many plays there's so many sequences defensively where Janai, either with a block shot or a steal or just great defense, right, limits Houston's ability to score in a moment where Houston probably really needed a basket. I mean, there's more than 10 of those moments in that game on Saturday night defensively, on top of what Jhené gave you offensively. And then there's also Tahad Pettiford.
Well, there's, I mean, there,
which
there,
to me is maybe the most memorable individual performance.
That's what Kelvin Sampson had to say after the game. Kelvin Sampson said he thought the difference in the game was Tahad. I mean, thus far we've seen multiple different players step up. Tahad goes scoreless in the opening game against Vermont when Auburn just lit it up, you know, from outside. Miles Kelly had, you know, a great game against Vermont.
He did.
He didn't have much of an offensive game against Houston. Chaney Johnson, I think, is a big story through the first two games as well.
Very good. And, you know, another one to mention, Chad Baker-Mazzara basically did nothing for 15 minutes of that game.
Right.
And I think he scored his
couple of huge buckets
points.
And yeah. The free throws that Auburn made down the stretch. Yep. Auburn hit 6 straight free throws in the final couple of minutes.
They had to
ice that game.
They had to limit Chad's playing time because he got into foul trouble,
right.
But they still needed him out there in the crucial moments mm-hmm. at the end. And he hits a couple of shots that help Auburn win that one. I'm glad you mentioned Chaney, because that's
Chaney, I mean, taking so much pressure off of Jhené there in the front court. He has a double-double. He has nearly had, I mean, he had 13-9 against Vermont. Then he goes 11-10. So he's been right there with nearly two double-doubles in his first couple of ball games.
I wasn't sure. I suspected it, but I wasn't sure that Chaney Johnson was going to be part of Auburn's best five. He's part of Auburn's best
yeah,
five.
No
like
question.
The best five that Auburn can throw out there includes
so
Chaney Johnson.
So is Tahad Pettiford.
So
opinion.
Is Tahad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is Chad, I would say, at the moment. So is Denver, and so is Jhené. I mean, Denver or Miles. You know, there's the mm-hmm. argument as to, and I think my guess right now would be that the backcourt would be Tahad, Denver, and Chad. But if they needed Miles Kelly to fill the role of either Denver Jones or Chad Baker-Mazzara, or if they needed JP to fill the role of Tahad, I think they'd be okay with it. But if I had to guess right now, Bill, do you disagree? That
no,
Auburn's...
no. I'm just thinking. I don't know that Bruce wants to start Tahad. Have him be a starting point guard.
First five isn't necessarily the best five.
That is right.
For Bruce
Pearl, though. Bruce has said, it's the ones that finish the game.
And I would imagine.
Tahad definitely finished that game.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and he'll ride hot hands, but if I had to guess, like if it's, suppose the Kent State game is closer than the experts think it's going to be, and Auburn has crucial possessions at the end of that game, I would guess, based on what I saw Saturday night, Bill, you'd see Tahad, Denver, Chad, Chaney and Jhené as the five out there in the biggest moments, unless JP is having a significantly better game than Tahad at that moment.
Right. Of course, I mean, again, it's two games in.
It's two games in.
We'll see.
I'm speculating about the Kent State game.
What is great, you know, what's great is multiple different players have stepped up in each ball game.
Yeah.
Think about the game Miles had against Vermont.
Yeah, he hit 7 threes against Vermont.
Right, and it's a relatively quiet night for Miles against Houston, but I don't think that's something, you know, I would imagine in the case of JP and Miles, right? Like, these are guys who understood they didn't come to Auburn to get to take more shots than they took at their previous school. They could have stayed home and gotten to take, if they wanted volume offensively, it's about winning. Like, these guys wanted to be part of something really special before their college basketball careers were over. And I would think through 1 week, you're getting to be part of something really special as part of your, you know, with both the most impressive, one of the most impressive wins as far as just the team's performance, and then maybe the best win in the history of the program in the regular season non-conference.
Other things I really liked about Auburn's first two games, they had played a really, really good defense, especially for early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's going to continue all year, and that's something that's going to travel really well as Auburn goes off on this really tough non-conference schedule here in the coming weeks. And then I just love the poise that this team plays with, including Tahad Pettiford for a freshman. They are not bothered by the moment. They went to Houston playing a great defensive team, a team that can frustrate other teams and get them out of rhythm and you know, make life very tough for them on the road. And Auburn came out and outplayed them in the second half and played just beautiful basketball and offense against a team like that. So I think those are things that are going to pay dividends throughout the season, things that Auburn can repeat and repeat as we move forward.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, Brian. I mean, just a great, complete effort by Auburn, and it has been in each of the first two ball games. Now, you know, you can't expect that every time. I think Bruce Pearl has been very pleasantly surprised at how well Auburn has come out of the gate playing these first two ball games. Because remember, he was talking pre-Vermont. They played so well against Florida Atlantic that, you know, don't expect that. And then it was better against Vermont. And then they go on the road and knock off a top five team in Houston you know, come from behind. What was Auburn trail by eight?
Nine with around 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Down five after Houston hits the three with 6 minutes to go and builds a five-point lead, and Bruce takes a timeout. And that's when Auburn, I think Auburn hits back-to-back threes to take the lead coming out of that timeout. There's an offensive rebound by Janai in there as well. But no, it was a, I mean, it was a performance where you needed to face down Houston on their terms, right? Like the Auburn had to play for much of it. They had to play Houston's game, and they still were able to work to get great shots, and they were able to play just, I mean, just like Brian said, just tenacious defense. I mean, they were there. I mean, after a game against Vermont, where I don't know if Vermont had a good look the entire game, Houston had to work incredibly hard to get looks, and they probably settled for shots further away from the basket than they wanted to, because Janai Broome was there to make sure nothing was going to get near the rim.
So we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. It'll be very interesting to see, and I don't know that we'll know anything until Wednesday night to see the get an idea on the status of the two players who did not make the trip, Ja'Kai Howard and Turtle Hudson.
Well, look, guys, I know we want to talk about this, but the number one rule of the Fight Club is don't talk about the Fight Club. So I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. But, yes, what a crazy, wild start weekend with those guys.
Yeah, Dan, you thought you guys were having fun getting to and fro.
Yeah, could always be worse. No, it's I guess the two things I would suggest, and it's not a – I don't know how big of a story it really should be, but one – it does feel like if one side is saying it's just horseplay and another side is saying we're a flight crew that's alarmed enough to turn a plane around and go back home, it does feel like maybe there are two different stories.
Right, but two different stories you'd expect.
Okay,
sure.
But I wonder
than what the coaches.
Yeah, and I wonder
out there about the truth.
I wonder how much of each story is the truth, and if we'll ever find out. The other thing is,
one thing you know for sure is that the audio from the pilot is what he believed.
Yes,
I mean, that's not second and third hand, which is very unusual to me. I was amazed when the audio just popped up.
And we know, and we know that the plane turned around and landed. We know the players left home. Like those things are indisputable. The other thing is, I was not aware until the weekend about the viral video. Bill, I don't know if you've seen this.
Oh, yes. Okay. Everybody's seen that.
Okay. If everybody knows what I'm talking about. The video of Ja'Kai's apparent lack.
I was at the game, but I was not looking over there on that side of the court. So.
I didn't realize it. Ja'Kai Howard's apparent lack of enthusiasm for not getting the ball during the Vermont game. Or I don't want to speculate on why he wasn't enthusiastic. Didn't seem to be.
But the body language was very negative.
And I just, it's a little bit distressing that he's involved in both of these stories within the course of a week. It's a pretty busy first week as part of the team for a guy who I know bounced around a couple different schools and was part of Overtime Elite. You know, so it's been a sort of a turbulent basketball career, I think, for Ja'Kai Howard, and it's a turbulent. I'm not trying to be cute with the plane stuff there. But it's been a rocky start to his Auburn career so far.
It has been, but I think he deserves any criticism you want to get him. But I also want to remind people that he's a freshman. He may not come from the perfect background and family, and you know, for young people, that can be a whole lot to deal with the pressures of playing major college basketball. So While I'm not advocating for what he did, I'm also saying let's not just toss him out there and call him the devil or anything. Let's just see if maybe he can mature over time and learn to deal with his emotions better and learn to have more joy for himself and his teammates and control, have more control. And sometimes as a young person, I don't know if he's 17, 18, 19, whatever, it could be much tougher to be able to do those things.
All right, Bill, Dan, and Brian here in the studio on this Monday. We've got calls already lining up. Tell you what we'll do. We'll get to our first break, and then we'll be right back. John Spector, you're the first two up when we come back here on the Monday Drive.
For air that is cool and clean, call Sensor
Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, and let's get right to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And John is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, enjoying the show. I'll avoid the temptation to talk about how Bo Nix should have beat the Chiefs yesterday and the NFL continues to protect Kansas City with their officiating.
Well,
I'm not going to discuss that, but what are you going to say, Bill?
I was going to say, at least, Bo wasn't kicking the field goal, but yeah, you're right.
No, but real quick, I heard Dan talk about, and I wanted to bring you into this too, Bill. I think this is the biggest road win in Auburn basketball probably since you were in Rupp Arena with Jim Fife and John Taylor. And I heard Dan talk about the, I think, Louisville in the 90s. I think there was a game when Auburn beat Louisville in 95 in Puerto Rico after overcoming a 22-point deficit. But I think this is probably the biggest road win since 88 Kentucky, honestly. If you guys have of anything else, I was trying to scratch my mind on that, and I've just got nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of. I thought about that when they were talking, and I had somebody say, "Has there ever been a bigger one?" I said,
"Were you part of that call there?"
Yeah, I was. I was stomping all over Jim while he was hollering there at the end. I did color that year, but
awesome.
that was amazing. That's probably still the biggest because it was. I mean, Auburn was a huge underdog, and Kentucky was number one, but there's no question. This is the biggest non-conference road win in my mind that I know of, John.
I think so too, and you just cannot say enough about what Coach Pearl has done for Auburn basketball. People forget it was 15 years without an NCAA tournament bid. It's just incredible. But two quick questions for Brian, and then I'll let you guys go. Would we be at all concerned about Deuce Knight? And I think we have a basketball recruit that may commit on Saturday. Do we think he's headed towards Auburn? That's all I got, guys. Appreciate it.
Maybe a little bit concerned about Deuce Knight. He was at Ole Miss over the weekend. They're certainly
– And that was a huge win for them.
Dante Core, just about an hour or so ago, flipped from Auburn to Ole Miss. He was also at the game. He's a cornerback from somewhere in Florida, South Florida, I think.
And then, and a lot of people think that Ole Miss is very close to flipping Caleb Cunningham,
right?
The receiver from Mississippi who's committed to Alabama.
So, maybe part of this is the way Auburn's playing, but I would expect even if Auburn was playing good, these things are going to happen here and there. So we'll see how Auburn can survive over the next 3 weeks before that signing day. But I don't think Deuce Knight is a big risk right now, but I certainly would never rule out anything. And in college football recruiting, especially in NIL,
and it's again something to keep in mind that he is from the state of Mississippi, and sometimes that pressure can really, really build.
I would want this to sort of seg into a conversation about what Auburn's going to do at quarterback in the short term. Because we got some news about that.
Interesting news
but
today.
But Spector's been on hold.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get to Spector next. John, thanks for the call. Hey, Spector.
Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate that.
How about that, Spector? It's good to hear from you.
Hey, listen, on that.
Oh, sorry, Spector. That's the music. Oh, no. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Basketball, when those two guys came back to Auburn, it brought back days of memories of the family outing, and we're headed out, and the kids are acting up in the back seat, and you turn around and say, you're going to make me turn this car around?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I could see Papa Pearl saying that right then. You going to make me turn this plane around?
Yeah, the problem is, why didn't those players, why did it escalate? Why did it keep going? I'm sure they knew better. So.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Got so bad he had to turn it around.
Yep.
But listen, it, Brian, this is Monday. What have you found out about the quarterback change?
Well, we did talk to Hugh Freeze earlier today, and he said that Peyton Thorne did not practice last week due to his shoulder injury. And if you remember the game, I don't remember exactly how he heard it.
I'll tell you on the play where Auburn is on their own goal line early in the second half.
Second down and nine from the 2 yard line.
There's a second and nine when Auburn is on their own two. Peyton Thorne attempts to scramble up the middle, and he is just blasted by a Vanderbilt player.
Slammed down on his right shoulder.
Legal hit, clean legal hit football play, but he is blasted, and he gets up favoring his throwing shoulder. The next play
is the one to Cam Coleman that was short.
The third and short when Auburn tries to go deep down the sideline.
Cam's Coleman. Got a stepper.
Cam's got a step. The ball is off. It's way off. Yeah. And I think from that moment on, you could notice you could notice an injury to Thorne, and he apparently hasn't practiced since.
Yep. So with that in mind, and I think even if Thorne was healthy, they are looking at the possibility of making the change back to Hank Brown as the most likely candidate.
Yeah, as Hugh Freeze said today, looking at the big picture.
Yes. And
meaning beyond the next three games.
They did give some other veterans some time off last week. They practiced three times. They ended with a scrimmage that included a lot of guys that are, you know, maybe not playing as much or maybe not practicing as much. Walker White got more reps. He threw a big touchdown in that scrimmage to win it, I believe. But I think it's going to be – my guess is Hank Brown, and we'll see what happens with Peyton Thorne.
But interesting to hear that Walker White is no longer going to be working just with the scout team.
We'll see. We'll see how that looks this week, yeah.
Tell me about Deuce Knight again. He's actually decommitted?
No. Dante Core flipped from Auburn to Ole Miss. He is a cornerback. Deuce Knight, the number two dual-threat quarterback in the country, is still committed to Auburn. He did visit Ole Miss over the weekend, so it is something to keep an eye on.
Yes, Ole Miss is really trying to make the push on the in-state, you know, on the top quarterback in-state, and obviously, that was a huge win, and that's the kind of thing. Hey, if Auburn can actually get through this week without Deuce coming out and decommitting, then that'll be better news. But I mean, right now, you've got to feel like the emotion from everybody that was there watching Ole Miss beat Georgia is a factor.
Well, and Spector, think about this too. As many, you know, as longer term fans, you know, they remember decades of college football and things like that. But when you're talking about 18 and 19 year olds, you know, the last 8 years weigh really heavily on how they view programs. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, they have started 8-2 or better for the fourth consecutive season. Like, I mean, it's a pretty good run that they're on in Oxford, and I could understand why a local quarterback would take a real serious look at maybe joining the party.
All right, Dan, one last thing. Joey Logano won the NASCAR Cup.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of unhappiness about the NASCAR playoff format. Do you think that it needs urgent change too?
Yeah, I think it's going to be revamped because you had a driver that won five races and wasn't even in the championship. That was Larson.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I could see why they'd want to weigh the regular season maybe a little bit more heavily than that. Great stuff, Spector.
I used to watch NASCAR a lot back in the 90s, early 2000s. You know that.
No, he's our official correspondent. Yeah. I know it can fall by the wayside.
I just lost interest when they started doing all these changes to it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Completely lost interest.
3-3-4.
Do you have a favorite driver right now? Can you name a current?
I mean, Mark Martin was my guy way back when.
I don't know if
he's still out there. The Earnhardt, the era, you know, those guys. And
it helps if you have a driver. Yeah, I mean that's always, you know, what I've been told, and I root for Kieslowski because he won the Talladega that I went to, but I feel like that's kind of a flimsy reason to be aligned with a guy.
334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Uncle Ollie is up next. What's up, Unc?
Hello, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing fine.
Hello, Unc.
Hey, listen. First of all, as an old guy, get off my lawn. I've gotten weary of these guys that are like, are they coming? Are they going? You know, it's just, it's just,
It's like the it's like that old song by the Clash, Uncle Ollie. Should I stay or should I go now?
Whatever. It's just not even worth it anymore. But the reason I called is because I actually went to the game Saturday night. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. I remember you saying you were going. Center,
and I'm gonna tell you first of all, I saw the worst basketball game ever and the best basketball game I ever witnessed. I watched the first one was Rice and Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
It was a high school game. Ugh. It was awful. And
that's a once proud program at Florida State too. I mean, they were one of the awful. when the 2020 postseason was canceled, Uncle Ollie, I would have told you Florida State had one of the five best teams in the country. And things have changed, and now you know the thing, they might not have one of the 125 best teams in the country.
It was awful, but then it ramped up, and it was like it honestly was like a March Madness game, and the excitement was there. Of course, the Houston fans outnumbered Auburn 3-1 easy, as you can imagine, but. The interesting thing was when it got to the half, the Houston. I bought my tickets. Unfortunately, I was right in the middle of Houston people. But at halftime, they actually told me the two people that scared them the most was Dylan Cardwell and Pettiford. Dylan Cardwell.
Was that before the game or after?
I said halftime.
No, this was at halftime.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, Dylan had a huge first 5 minutes. I think right. that the rest of the game, he struggled a little bit
Dylan
more.
Dylan is so athletic that, I mean, I'm sure people seeing him for the first time are thinking, oh, man, this guy's going to jump over everybody and just – you know, can score every time he touches it inside.
He's incredibly athletic. He's also incredibly aggressive, and I think veteran, patient teams can use that against him. And Houston was doing that on both ends of the floor, coupled with the fact that they could go to Cheney.
The other thing they said was that they're not used to being so out physical. Mm-hmm. They couldn't believe how Auburn was just manhandling them. And the other thing, the last thing they told me was, nobody has shut number four down. Cryer, they had, they said nobody has shut him down, and they couldn't believe that Auburn was shutting him down.
Yeah, he had 13 points, but he's only 5-for-14 from the floor and only 1-for-4 from 3-point.
And that's something
– and he had no rebounds.
Something that Denver doesn't get credit for is, man, Denver Jones has – become a shutdown guard defensively.
And the last thing I'll say is this. The referees, I don't know where they came from. That's the best referee game I've watched in a long time.
That's a Final Four crew. They got a Final Four crew, Uncle Ollie.
They were excellent. And the reason I say that, they played fair. You know, you could – maybe there was an iffy call on Houston. Maybe there was an iffy call on Auburn. But it balanced out. And if you watch the fouls, it was always – there was never a point where one team had more than two fouls than the other.
Yeah. And it ended up foul-wise 20 for Houston, 21 for Auburn. So right where you wouldn't want that many fouls, but you want it to be close to even.
Well, when you're playing a couple of physical teams, that's I think very fair.
Yeah, but anyway, just want to let you know, and the Auburn people showed up. They showed up, so it was a really great weekend, and I guess the next one will be maybe Cam and Indoor. We'll see.
Nice.
All right, y'all guys have a great day.
Good hearing from you. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, you can join us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast.
We will be back with more of your phone calls here on the Monday Drive.
Leader ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews here in the studio. And let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. I didn't hear y'all mention it, but it might be a good thing Deuce Knight was at the game. He was able to sit there and watch that left-handed freshman.
Yeah, he looked pretty good, didn't he? Yeah.
One complete drive, and he looked very good. I mean, I'm not an Ole Miss fan, but so I hate to say that, but yeah, he did look good. So, there's been many Auburn games against Alabama where Auburn's won. And
I remember Rashawn Evans leading the charge out there.
Yeah, people celebrating and all. I mean, all they're doing is, you know, hanging out with their buds. I mean, I have no knowledge of anything about Deuce Knight other than what I've read or seen a video. I mean, he might commit to him tomorrow, but I wouldn't think so.
Deuce Knight wasn't into it nearly as much as that Georgia player was.
Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. But, hey, Bill, can you tell me, I mean, I never did really hear the reason. Why in the world did we have to sit there and watch that story on Texas A&M to get to the Auburn game?
Oh, because of the other games taking so long. Because, you know, the game was supposed to have been at 8:30, and when it was obvious that Florida State Rice game wasn't going off, they went and filled in with like one of those day on the whatever with Texas A&M. I just had the sound down. I wasn't paying any attention. I don't know if they said anything. I just kept the video up and waiting for the game.
Yeah, the game before Auburn's game on that court went long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to say it wasn't on TV. So
it was. Yeah. I think there might have. It might have been like ACC Network Plus. Or, you know, one of the, it might have been on the website only, but it was, yeah, right. Florida State and Rice played a game earlier that sort of led into the Auburn game, and it I guess the second half took forever.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. Y'all have a great day.
Good hearing from you, Brett. 334-321-1390.
Just had a caller who was at that game, mentioned watching Florida State Rice game.
All right, let's back to the phone, and Jason is next. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys, I got some positive spin on NLI.
All right.
NIL. I'm sorry, NLI. NIL. So I grew up in the 70s and 80s watching college basketball, back in the era where the guys played there 3 or 4 years. Almost all of them played 4. We knew everybody, the Ralph Sampsons of the world, the Christian Leitners of the world. If they were coming back, you knew the team. Well, that is now happening in college basketball with guys like Mark Sears and Jonah Broome, who would be in the G League right now if it wasn't for NIL.
That's right.
It's almost about the way it used to be. Good college basketball players still exist. There's just some that aren't athletic and qualified enough to play in the NBA. And so we're getting better basketball. It's ridiculous how many seniors there are out on the floor for all of these really good teams. Used to just a few years ago, there were just so many young guys out there mm-hmm. playing.
You hardly ever saw seniors except on some of the mid majors. You know, might have those experienced type teams. Yes, it's made it it's much more likely you're able to retain players because you can maybe not match exactly what they get overseas, but they don't have to go through the hassle of moving overseas, and they can do pretty well for themselves, you know, staying here and playing college basketball.
You know, and I think the other thing with NIL is in football, you're seeing more parity. There are just more teams out there that are competing for championships. You can look at the SEC right now and the possibility for 8 teams to be tied at 6-2. And the only thing you need is like 1 or 2 upsets for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest would be, you know, just how teams would be favored to win. And you look across the country, how many teams could potentially get into the playoffs and how many of those teams could potentially win the national championships. It's not like 2 or 3. It's a good handful.
Yeah, I agree with that. It definitely has done that in college football. My concern about Auburn basketball going into Saturday night was the point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't sure we were strong enough there to be a final four.
Yeah, I would have had the same concern too. Yeah.
Yeah. And after that game, I see an explosive guy that can create his own shot and can create for others, that's got a good enough three-point shot. And let me tell you the thing I love the most about him. When he got fouled at the end of the game and we were up three, instead of being nervous about going up the line, he is pumping his fist.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm fixing to knock these free throws down.
Mm-hmm.
And he sure did it. And that's the kind of mentality you need from a point guard. And I think his future is super bright. I hate to get too excited about it because Holloway had a great game last year against Baylor and then just went south after that. But this kid is a better athlete, and he can create his shot better. And Holloway was really totally dependent on three-pointers. That's all he could do last year. I don't think Pettiford's going to be like that.
No, and Pettiford looks so poised for a freshman.
He really does. I mean, no turnovers in 24 minutes there against that Houston team.
Yeah. That's so impressive.
Yeah, that's the most telling stat of them all. I mean, that's an amazing stat. And I'll say this, too, about him. I thought he played pretty competitive defense for a freshman.
Yeah.
I thought he got after him.
Yeah, I thought everybody did. I mean, it was it was so much fun to watch that. You're right. I mean, the other concern people had was the four. You know, people wondering about, you know, how's the four going to work? Is Jani going to have to play the four? Because is Chaney ready? And Chaney sure looks ready. Yeah. In two ball games, so I mean,
we those got options,
I agree with that. And you know, he may not shoot three pointers very well this year, may not make many of them. But when your five can make threes, you can offset. You don't have to have a four that can make them. And what he does give us is some toughness and some rebounding and some post moves. And he's athletic. I mean, all those things he gives us at the four.
He's led Auburn in rebounding each of the first two games. Realize that?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, guys.
Great hearing from you, Jason. 334-321-1390. Yes, I mean, it has been crazy. I mean, different guys. I think you can count on Jani every time out. He's gonna get you close to 20 and 10, yeah, just about every time out. Otherwise, I mean, other guys, Auburn has shown they can win with Denver Jones scoring 4 points like he did. Boy, if you'd said, all right, Denver's going to score four, all right, your starting guards are going to score a total of 6 points against Houston, because that's what Pegues and Jones combined for. But then you got 21 from Tahad off the bench. You get Chaney, who didn't start, comes in and gives you a double-double. You know, in the first game, Miles Kelly comes off the bench and scores 21.
Mm-hmm.
The depth and the different lineups that Bruce can go with is
so many options.
Really, really great. I mean,
if somebody doesn't have a hot hand or somebody does have a hot hand, you can put that player in the game and you can play him at different positions. Almost every player, including Pettiford, the freshman, can play multiple positions on that team.
Yeah, no question. All right, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
This is Martha Hank with
online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. Taking your calls, questions, comments on anything that you want to talk about sports-wise. A lot of talk, and obviously so, about the Auburn 74-69 win over Houston Saturday night at the Toyota Center. Meanwhile, we just briefly mentioned when we were talking about Deuce Knight. Couple of big ball games in the SEC over the past weekend, and I don't think there's any question the biggest win in Lane Kiffin's career.
Yeah, definitely.
As a head coach,
he's had a lot of those games where he's gotten close or come up short.
Yep.
But yeah, they came through, and you can see how much he helped that team in the portal, especially on the line of scrimmage.
Man, made a big difference defensively. That's where they're so much better defensively than they've been, and They got after Carson Beck. Georgia's just not a good – they're not good at running the ball.
Nope.
They've become too one-dimensional, and Carson Beck is not the most mobile quarterback. I mean, he's not like – I'm not saying he's not a good athlete. I mean, he can move, but he's not one of those really, mobile quarterbacks. And yeah, Ole Miss just got after him, and they won and deserved to win that ball game.
And there are eight teams with two losses or less, two or one losses in
that
the
is crazy.
Right now.
Yep.
Three, I think, with one loss, and five with two losses.
I don't know what the SEC championship game is going to look like.
No, there's no way of telling them. And Georgia, Tennessee play this week. Yeah. If Georgia knocks off Tennessee, you're down to Texas and Texas A&M as the only two one-loss teams in the league. And you know one of those is going to have a loss because they play each other last week.
If Tennessee knocks off Georgia somehow, that's bye-bye Bulldogs.
You know, right? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Georgia, I would say, is – I mean, they would be the only three-loss team that would have a chance because they have beaten Texas on the road.
And beat Clemson, too, right?
Yeah.
I want to shout out to the team that I'm wrong about every week. Because, like, if South Carolina had held on and beaten LSU, and we thought they should have.
They should have.
And they should have. Remember, that's when the pick six got called back on a very.
All the question about the heat on Shane Beamer. Yeah. They
4-3 in the conference.
Yeah, they are very good defensively too.
Yeah, no, I mean I think he knows what he's doing, and he's got them like they looked lost early in the season. They've gotten better and better and better. And if they were in the playoff hunt, they would be a terrifying team in the playoff hunt because they've got the horses on both sides of the ball to hang with. I know Ole Miss killed them, but like
their offense is I don't think they have a ton of talent on offense, but he is putting their players in position to make plays. And
Rocket Sanders is a talent. Yeah. Sanders is a serious talent.
But their offensive line is maybe one of the worst in the conference, but they're still finding ways to move the ball and score points and make plays. That coaching staff deserves credit for that. I don't understand why Auburn can't do the same.
And we're talking about teams that could be out of it. LSU is now.
Oh, yes.
Definitely done. after that Saturday night. Yeah, all the what a tough place to play. Mm. Brian Kelly's unbeaten there at night. Well, they were beaten badly.
Yeah.
LSU scored late to cut it to 42-13. Yeah. I mean, my goodness. Yeah. What a beat down on Alabama. It's like I have been concerned with LSU's defense all year long. We've seen some teams get some big plays against them, but they looked like they had no idea how to try to contain a mobile quarterback.
They've had a bad defense all year.
Yeah. And Jalen Milroe is a terrific athlete, an unbelievable athlete, but they had no answer for him at all. I mean, he just ran through them and around them.
As soon as he took off, it was like a path to at least 20-plus yards almost every time.
And you heard Brian Kelly earlier in the season say, we have to get better at stopping running quarterbacks.
Remember, they still do.
He stood there at the press conference, said it was concerning. You know, their inability to do that.
Not really popular in Baton Rouge right now.
I was going to say, Bill, you're plugged in. What's the deal there?
They're not happy. They're definitely not happy. They would, I think they felt he wasn't one of them when he was brought in. But then he won. He's won some won quite a few ball games.
Is there a dream candidate there that everybody's like?
I don't know. We need Tex to tell us.
Cignetti?
That. I'm sure that probably would be one up that would. I would think draw a lot of interest.
Cignetti's a Big Ten guy, though, isn't he?
Google him. Well, he was Nick Saban's recruiting coordinator at Alabama.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm sure that topic has been discussed quite a bit in Baton Rouge and still being discussed on every show down there because, they're not happy. They're not happy. Look, they could be 1-4 in the conference because
– Do we have to start saying Dion – for some of these jobs?
I think you do.
I mean,
certainly getting going at Colorado right now.
I mean, I do. I guess the one caveat would be I want to see what it looks like when Shadur moves on. Like if he can recapture the success without a first round pick like Shadur Sanders. At the same time, you can't deny how good, like how much better Colorado has gotten since. I mean, they were a mess when he arrived.
No question.
They were in dire straits, and now they can run the table and make the college football playoff. And I don't know how unlikely it is in the sense that there's not a dominant team in the Big 12. BYU probably should have lost. what a mess that is. You got the Utah AD.
Yeah, no kidding. Getting fined $40,000. That's an odd amount, but whatever.
Did you see? I mean, he gets up in front of the media. I mean, just a shocking thing. So
now,
yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, Colorado, I think absolutely could find their way into the 12-team playoff in year two under Deion Sanders. So yeah, probably should mention him.
But you know, getting back to LSU, think how close they are to being 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they beat Ole Miss in overtime. They you were just talking about South Carolina. They could have lost both of those games. I mean, this LSU team that an awful lot was expected of. I mean, they're 6-3, but they're out of the playoff hunt as we're not quite to the middle of November, and that's not in a 12-team playoff. LSU expects to very much be in consideration until the very last game. All right, music's playing. That means we're out of time here for hour number one. Got another one to go, though. Love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody's doing well and had a good weekend. It was a very interesting weekend of the world of sports, and we're here to talk with you about that. Love for you to join in. We'll get to how you can do so here shortly. But first, let me remind you that hour number two of the Drive is brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com. Now, you can join us on The Drive with a couple of different ways, one of which is calling The Drive hotline, 334-321-1390, and that's sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They sponsor the podcast as well, which is available however you get your favorite podcasts.
Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com joining us here in the studio, as is usually the case on Monday. So it's Bill, Dan, and Brian. Drew at the controls. B-Matt, again, even though Auburn had an open football weekend, plenty going on after a big win in basketball. The women off to a very good start as well, and now we've got back to football this week, recruiting. I just realized the basketball signing period starts Wednesday.
That's right, and could have some news there for both programs. I know the women's program just got another
five-star,
yeah, which is great for them. Love to see that program turn around. It seems like it's been forever. I mean, it has some good moments, but
is it Coach Harris's birthday? I think.
Oh, if it is, well, happy birthday! I did not realize.
I believe that's correct.
But plenty of covers this week for football, basketball. We'll be at practice tomorrow. We'll get Pearl and football players tomorrow. Auburn Kent State is Wednesday night. Baseball, the second round of the World Series starts Wednesday.
This is the coaches picked. Yep. Teams.
Yep. So we'll have ton of content, of course, along with recruiting.
Yeah. So there is plenty going on. We'd love to hear from you, and we've got John on the Drive hotline to get things started. Hey, John.
Hey, happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely. Sorry, I was taking a sip of water.
I was just curious, sitting here thinking, this has been the worst offensive performance that I can remember since probably 2008, as far as the team not producing any points. Hugh Freeze has a proven track record of 8-4, 9-3, whatever, over an extended career at Liberty and Ole Miss and other places. I'm just curious, what's y'all's opinion as why we're not getting things done this year?
Well, I think there are multiple reasons, but I think Auburn blew it in the offseason at the quarterback and tackle position as far as adding talent there.
What has been the problem, though, Brian, in the red zone? because Auburn has moved the ball between the 20s.
Yeah.
It's just once they get to really inside the 30, it's been a big problem.
It has been. I think some of that has to do with the personnel, and I think a lot of it has to do with maybe they're not putting the players in position to make plays. I don't think they've done a good job with Auburn's running game and recognizing Jarquez Hunter as the best player on offense and featuring him more. I mean, he's featured in one game and he dominated that game, and that's been it. So that's hard. It's hard. That's hard to figure that one out for me, at least.
There appears to be conflict between the kind of offense Hugh Freeze really wants to have,
definitely,
and the offense that Hugh Freeze has right now,
the talent that he has to try to run it with.
Yeah, and that's not to say it won't work eventually when the talent is more completely to Hugh Freeze's liking, but right now it feels like winnable games are slipping away. You know, you're losing to teams you beat on the road last year.
Yeah.
You're losing to them at home.
You're scoring 7 points at home against Vanderbilt. I mean, Vanderbilt is a well-coached, better team, but there's no excuse not to score more than 7 points against Vanderbilt at home.
Brian,
that's atrocious.
You weren't here, I think, when we mentioned this, but the Vanderbilt loss was Hugh Freeze's eighth home loss at Auburn.
Yeah.
It took Gus Malzahn like six seasons. It was in year six that Gus Malzahn lost his eighth home game.
I mean, it's just not good. I think there's a lot of blame to go around. It starts at the very top.
What was alarming about the performance against Vandy was how similar it looked to the worst performances last year,
right?
And it's like, where's the progress? You know, he bet, like you said, Brian, he bet really big on, let's take a lot of the guys from last year's offense and let's add new play callers and new receivers and change very little other than that.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked.
It has not.
And now you go into next year with quarterback uncertainty and tackle uncertainty. And you're talking
complete
about
offense uncertainty, because I'm not sure the offense he was running at Ole Miss back in, 2015 or whatever.
10 years ago, close to 10 years ago. Maybe. Yeah, but maybe. We don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know. Well, today, I thought it was interesting today, he gets asked, all right, clarify the play calling. And he didn't clarify it really at all. A combination where Ken Austin's handling third and long, and the other plays, Derek and I are combined.
I'm going to say this again. Hugh Freeze is calling the plays. He's giving credit to the other guys for giving their input and being part of game plan.
Credit?
And it just comes
he's
out.
He's giving credit to the other guys?
He wants to include them in it, and it just comes
whether they like it or not.
Sounding all muddled, right?
Yeah, but you're right.
Hugh Freeze is calling the plays. He's been calling the plays all year. This is his offense. Those guys were brought in to run his offense.
It was very early in, was it last year? It was Cal last year, where it was like, you got the sense Hugh Freeze took credit for calling the plays that work.
Yeah.
Right.
And everybody else is responsible for the other ones.
Yeah.
And it's like,
last year, at least you could understand when there was talk about different nomenclature, different terms being used. This year, there's none of that should be a concern, but Auburn. Yeah, as Brian said, Auburn manages 7 points against Vandy at home. South Carolina put up 28 against them in Nashville this past week. So, yeah, there's just it has been such a struggle, and I would say probably as disappointing a performance offensively as I can recall. Because he was talking about the 2008 team.
Yeah.
What did you have to work with?
Right.
I think Auburn's got more to work with, more to work with than the numbers that they've been putting up.
Yeah. And, at least that team had,
And to be clear, there were moments in 11 and 12.
Yeah.
Where I would say you looked as bad offensively as you did in 8. Like there were moments, against the worst.
Well, 12 was the worst season we've seen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like 2008. It was I think sort of shocking in how quickly things went bad from years earlier.
Once you got rid of Tony, who didn't fit on the staff. I'm not saying he's not a good coach.
You didn't have a quarterback either in that season. I mean, Chris was hurt, and Cody was struggling.
At least they kind of got back to their thing, and they were reasonably.
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
they were bad all season.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they got back to their thing and lost the Iron Bowl 38-0.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, it's it's bad, and I think it's the miscalculation. Like, getting back to the point you made, Brian, the miscalculation of betting so big on certain guys that were on the team last year, like not really addressing, however you can, addressing those positions. I think it's gonna only ratchet up the pressure on Hugh Freeze in year three.
There
to get
is
it fixed.
No margin of error for him next year, none. He has got to solve those issues. He's got to solve the offense, and Auburn's got to start winning games, or his tenure here is going to be really short.
And I don't think that, you know, Max Olson did a great job with ESPN.com about this. Like, I don't know if the quarterback market in the portal is going to be full of bona fide superstars that look like they're changing teams for purely economic reasons or a lot of proven guys. Like, I think it's going to be a bit murkier, and it's not exactly what you want to hear if you're betting really big on a portal quarterback to come in and fix your offense in year three.
That may be true for a coaching staff and a team that sits back and waits to see what happens. But if I'm Auburn, I'm not doing that. I'm going to find somebody, and I'm going to take care of business behind the scenes. And when that portal opens on December 9th, I'm going to take care of business on that day. That's what Auburn should be doing.
Oh, you're
That's
right.
What this coaching staff should be doing. They should be embarrassed by what's happened this past year, and they should be – there should be a fire lit under them to go out there and get it done, because this is unacceptable.
Speaking of fire, Uncle Keith's Red Sauce, Brian. Tell me about it.
It is absolutely delicious. Sponsors the Monday Musings, which of course feature Tom Jones this week, but available at Publix, Piggly Wiggly, Renfro's. You can order online with discount code BMAT15, get 50% off. And here in town, you can even get it at Kroger's. I see it there every other day when I'm in there. Loading up on the groceries. But yes, give it a try. It's delicious, homegrown right here in the state of Alabama.
There's some good stuff at Renfro's. I go to the one near my folks' place out near East Chase.
Nice.
And it's they've got the Uncle Keith's Red Sauce out there, the local products and the stands, and you can't go wrong.
I don't think I've ever been to Renfro's.
Check it out next time you're in East Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the Monday Musings. You mentioned Tom Jones.
Yeah. And, of course, it's been like 60 years since he came out with his signature song, I'd say.
It's not unusual.
Yeah, it's not unusual. Thank you.
I haven't even read your Monday Musings, but I would say it's not unusual. I mean, his What's New Pussycat was
a good one.
Was another one. She's Delilah.
He did a cover
she's
of.
She's a Lady is such. Oh, that's such yep. a.
Oh, She's a Lady.
Politically correct song now.
He did a cover of You Can Leave.
He did a cover of a lot of people.
Didn't know he's from Wales, England.
You Can Leave Your Hat On, right?
The something Welsh.
And there's something. This is not like a 100% fact, but in the record, it's not unusual. Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page is listed as the lead guitarist in that. Now, there's been some dispute there whether he was or wasn't. But
does Jimmy claim it? I wonder.
I'm pretty sure Jimmy does claim it.
Okay.
Oh. Yes, Jimmy. I'm pretty sure Jimmy does definitely claim that. So, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, Tom Jones. That's,
still going today.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep. So, check that out. I mean, that's one of the many things you'll find there at AuburnSports.com. You guys have already got a rundown out?
Yep, met today after we met with Coach Freeze and recorded that, and that's already out there too. Talked about basketball, of course, and football and quarterback and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you as we're about to head to our first break. Plenty of room, plenty of time for you to join us, 334-321-1390 here on the Monday Drive. Give us your thoughts, you know, on anything Auburn basketball.
Have you guys? I was gone a week, so you guys have missed a lot. I've missed a lot. Have you guys talked about Sonny Smith?
Yes.
I mean, all the best to Coach Smith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terrific man.
Terrific man. An Auburn legend. Auburn coach. Auburn broadcaster. It's. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be the same without Coach. All the best to Randall, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
He does a great job. He's done a great job.
But nobody's Sonny.
Yeah,
that's just the way
but
it is.
But thanks for everything, Coach.
Absolutely. We'll get to our first break here of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
I'm at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive, 18 minutes after 5 o'clock with Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Drew at the controls. Again, I guess, well, one of the things now that Bruce Pearl has got to be concerned with is that they get their heads out of the cloud a little bit. Yeah. But with as many seniors mm-hmm. and guys that have been around and understand, you know, what is expected from Auburn basketball, I have a hard time believing that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, 10 scholarship seniors on that team.
That is crazy, isn't it?
Plenty of leadership and plenty of guys to you know, help out the younger folks. And, you know, I just think the things they do well right now, and they do a lot of things well, but playing defense
mm-hmm.
and just being poised in those big moments, you know, I think that's something that they can be consistent with.
The way Pettiford played was remarkable, and you got the sense that, yeah, this is a fearless kid
yep.
who, you know, wants the ball in these moments.
Thrives in the pressure.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's the – you know, I think growing up, I mean, I try not to stereotype or generalize too much, but I imagine growing up in New York City and playing in the variety of atmospheres that provides. You know, he's a Jersey City, you know, kid right on the, you know, right on the other side of the Statue of Liberty from New York City. Like that's probably, you know, it's he's been in some big stages and he's been in some hostile atmospheres before. Oh, yeah. And so mm-hmm. yeah, he was up for it. I do wonder. You wonder sort of where JP stands. You know, he's your starting point guard right now. You know, is it going to be a little bit more of a timeshare with JP and Tahad and Denver at the point maybe than folks thought?
Tahad's going to earn more time. He has to.
I would think. I mean, I think Bruce really likes him at the two as well.
Yeah,
getting someone. And I was trying to figure it out from watching the game the other night. At times, it's difficult to tell who is exactly running the point. But JP played, I think, 14 minutes the other night. So that means the other 26 minutes at the point were shared by Tahad Denver. But I think it was more Tahad than Denver with the other 26 minutes. There's no way of knowing. I mean, it doesn't break it down how many minutes at what position or whatever. But yeah, he looked very comfortable. Out there running the show. I mean, and again, as I mentioned a while ago when we were talking with Uncle Ollie, I guess it was Uncle Ollie, but the fact that he played 26 minutes and had zero turnovers, I think extremely impressive because Houston is a very good defensive team as well. And
extremely good, yes.
I mean, and that's one of the good things that we've seen with JP in a couple of ball games too. He doesn't turn it over. Yeah, so, I mean, Auburn's got a very good situation there with guards. Your ball handlers do a very good job of protecting the ball.
JP only has 10 points and one assist in two games, but he also has no turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, JP hit a couple of threes there at the end of the Vermont game.
Yep. Right now, Pettiford, I believe, is leading the team with 7 assists in 2 games. He has 2 turnovers, and, of course, he's scoring a pretty good clip.
I think – how many's Chaney got? I think what they did. When I looked at the box Chaney from the other night, I believe they changed the stats. When I looked at the Auburn stats today,
Chaney has 3 assists right now.
Because Chaney showed his 4 assists for the game the other night on the official on the box that was released after the game. I guess after the game they reviewed the film, and he just has 3 because
Denver has 5. He's second on the team right now.
Because Chaney the other night was listed as leading the team in rebounds and assists, which I thought that's pretty
darn
good.
Janai has 5 assists, which is pretty impressive. Yeah.
And a couple of others that could have been assists.
Yes.
I mean, at times, Janai surprises people because he does pass the ball extremely well for a big guy. 334-321-1390. And Clay is up next. Hey, Clay.
Hey. Good Monday, fellas. You make a good point that, you know, it's that the guards are not, there's not a director out there like a quarterback for most of the game, but there was no doubt who the point guard was the last, say, 6 minutes of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so impressive to see Tahad Pettiford just, he did not look like a freshman out there.
Nope.
No, he closed that like a veteran.
He really did.
Yeah, he did, and someone's already said this earlier, and I know when I was watching the game, it felt to me like a tournament game with the back and forth, and it reminded me so much of the Auburn Virginia game because that game was an extremely defensively controlled game in the Final Four for the first half, and then both teams started scoring a little bit in the second half, and it was, you know, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And when he got fouled, and the first thing I noticed, because Auburn had missed lots of free throws.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I do when I'm watching the game. I'm like, missed dunks.
Auburn, Clay? Yeah, Auburn was 7 of 13 at the free throw line going into the last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And they finished 13 of 19.
And Janai had missed 2 and 1, and we had missed 2 front ends of 1 and 1. And I count that as, the way I count it, that's 6 points to me. And when you're sitting there and you're down 2 or you're up 1, you're like, you got 6 points you left out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very, very impressed with, because I just, by Friday evening, I was like, this is just Auburn being, you know, stinking Auburn. You got a chance at a Final Four team, and you're going to have a fist fight on the airplane on the way. Going to learn this. You know, you get beat by Houston, and the team's in chaos, but it really shows the maturity. And that even goes to the end of the game when Houston, you could tell Auburn wore Houston down. We got a bunch of 25-year-olds out there, you know, playing. It's almost not fair. We got a G League team, you know, playing, you know, college guys. So, but I thoroughly enjoyed that basketball game. It's one of the best, just pure basketball games that I've seen, and I can't tell when. And a lot of it was, another guy mentioned, the officials were so good in that game. You don't know any of their names. You don't remember any specific call. You know, they just let two great teams get after it and play basketball. So that was fun to watch. It was fun to watch.
No question for Auburn fans. It absolutely was.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
All right, Clay.
Today.
Good hearing from you.
Great stuff,
right,
Clay.
Talk to you later, fellas.
334-321-1390, and John is next. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I was so pleased. I've been watching Auburn basketball all my life, and I'm 40, and I can never remember Auburn looking that good before the first of the year. I mean, what an effort. But just had a couple points I wanted to make real quick and get your thoughts on. First of all, in the season opener last year, in South Dakota against Baylor, you know, Aiden Holloway put on a really good show, and Aiden looks really good in a few games non-conference. Kind of looked similar to Pettiford last night, and so because of that, I'm thinking about how Bruce kind of slow played Jabari Smith in his freshman year, and Jabari became more of a dominant player February, March of that season. I want to see if Pegues doesn't hold this starting point guard job for a while. And just what did y'all's take on how this is different than Aiden? And thank you much.
That's a very good question, because Aiden, was it Baylor last year that he had 24?
Yeah, it seems about right. Well, I think a couple of things. Number one is Aiden, even when he's playing well, is getting most of his points from his shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see with Tahai that he has the ability to really handle the ball well and drive and do a lot of different things offensively other than just be a three-point shooter. So that's one thing. I think the other thing is I watch Tahai. He is so poised. I just don't remember saying that about Aiden. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't remember him being this poised at this point in the season.
I think it's a fair comparison because Aiden was also an All-American. Mm-hmm. I would think that Tahad's offensive game is a little bit more balanced and a little bit less reliant on his ability to hit the three, which really seemed to shake Aiden and his confidence. You know, when he went cold from three, and when teams were sort of daring him to do anything else, and he wasn't doing it with Tahad, like he's going to the basket, right? Like he's hitting the three from a lot of different spots. He's still passing the ball. So I think it could peter out, but it also could be the start of something very special.
Yeah. Aiden had it was his 24 came against Indiana. Here's the way Aiden started his career for Auburn: 19 against Baylor, 11 against Southeastern Louisiana, 15 against Notre Dame. I mean, he was in double figures 5 of his first 7 games, including a 19 and 24.
Man.
So he got off to a good start. It was when conference play started is when he went cold, and you could just see the confidence was gone. But yeah, so I mean, I can understand why my folks for anybody. I mean, especially for youngsters, you got to wait and see how things go. But that was a very impressive, cool under pressure performance by Tahad the other night. Appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join us in the final half hour here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 25 minutes or so here on this Monday evening. I'm getting used to that, saying evenings, as once it gets past 5 o'clock, it's already dark. So
it is.
Yep. So we have plenty of time for you to join us. Let's see, a couple of items we have not mentioned today. We've talked a good bit about basketball. Jani Broome, not shockingly, SEC Player of the Week.
Yeah, did not get Auburn. Didn't get Auburn Freshman of the Week because a kid, I think, for Texas A&M just went off with like
29 and 28 in his first two college games.
Yeah, so understandable, right? But Jani Broome was so good down the stretch in that game. I think 15 of his 20 points came in the second half. I believe he was 8 of 10 shooting. And Pearl, after the game, said to give a lot of credit to Stephen Pearl, his son, for the scouting and game plan, and then Burgomaster for calling all the offensive plays in that second half, and they just did a great job of feeding Jani inside.
Yeah, and as Dan mentioned, I mean, you know, he missed his 4 threes, but he was 10 for 11 out, you know, inside, 10 for 11 other than those threes.
Such a great touchdown there.
And he really does. I mean, he gets it, and Fran Fraschilla was like, you know, he gets it on his right shoulder, he's unstoppable, and that's the way he was the other night. So congratulations to Jani for that honor. And then a football note, we now know that the Auburn-Texas A&M game is a night game.
How about that? So if everybody can make it to the fourth quarter, you get to see an awesome light show.
Yeah, that'll either be 6:30 on ESPN or the 6:45 SEC Network, I believe.
Auburn favored by multiple touchdowns against ULM. ULM, though,
they're on a three-game skid right now.
And of course, Auburn dominates as a double-digit favorite at home, so, or in less than games they have. So. No problem this weekend, guys.
Auburn has dropped a couple of games.
I'd like to know who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah, we'll see. My guess is it won't be Peyton Thorne, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, if Peyton was unable to throw last week,
right?
That could be something that could keep him out.
Yeah.
I mean, period.
Well, I think a lot of folks, even though Peyton may still, quote-unquote, give you the best chance to win, are just ready to move on. That's just the feeling I get.
Yeah.
Being around town and message boarding.
Of course, if Peyton's not out there and Auburn goes out and loses by a couple of scores, people won't give a about who the quarterback is.
That's also true. It's all true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
334-321. What were you about to say, Dan?
What do you mean?
I thought as Brian was saying something, I thought.
I think we pretty much covered it there at the quarterback position.
Because in case you hadn't heard, Hugh Freeze saying today that Peyton Thorne did not practice last week because of his shoulder, which was obviously injured there in the Vandy game on the play near the goal line when he was tackled hard to the ground. Perfectly fine tackle, but tackled hard to the ground on his shoulder. And unfortunately, on the next play, Auburn called the deep pass to Cam Coleman, and Cam was open, but Peyton couldn't get the ball to him. And then we saw him you know, flexing his shoulder for the room.
I mean, there have been a lot of things like that that happened for Auburn, this Auburn team, right? You can go back.
Go back early in the year against in the Cal game,
right,
where Cam was hurt and Auburn wanted to throw the ball deep to him.
Yeah, it's just these things just keep happening. Some of them are preventable. Others are just some bad luck, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to the Drive hotline. Anthony is up next. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing fine.
I saw something on Facebook where they said that two Auburn basketball players got in a fight on a flight to, I guess, Houston or wherever he was going to play, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
the plane had to turn around and come back. I mean, was that something true, or that just people?
No, that's absolute. That's absolutely true.
I mean, Facebook didn't have the exclusive on this, Anthony. There were other news outlets reporting as well.
Oh yeah.
But no, that is the story of Auburn's trip to Houston Friday. Was that there was an altercation, a mid-flight altercation. The plane turned around, landed back in Auburn,
and it cost him about 7 hours.
Yeah,
because they didn't leave again until after 9 o'clock.
Well, in that case, the federal government, FAA got to get involved, right?
I mean, I imagine there could be an investigation either from local law enforcement or to a federal level. If
Doug asked me today, is there a possibility that either one of those guys might be on a no-fly list or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you never know. It depends on what was said and what was done. I mean, I don't want to speculate too much. I don't think these guys are going to Guantanamo Bay or something. But I mean, it's I think there absolutely could be those kind of questions when you have a situation serious enough to get a plane landed, off schedule. Those questions come up.
That's serious business when a plane turns around and the pilot calls for any kind of emergency assistance from the law enforcement. I mean, that ain't nothing to joke around with. I mean, did anybody go to jail or what?
Not that I'm aware of. Both players were left here in Auburn, and the team went back out there a little bit later. So, and the players involved were Ja'Kai Howard, a freshman, and Jaheim Hudson, a senior transfer
from SMU.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
He, you know what? Bruce Pearl may be better off with departing ways with them. I mean, that kind of sore eye embarrassment, you don't want nothing like that, especially in this day and time. You're talking about turning planes around. It might be better off letting them both go on.
No, chemistry is extremely important, and, especially on a roster this size, it's very important. So it'll be really interesting to see how this turns out.
Well, yeah, that's true. But like I said, it's best to part ways with them. That's a major embarrassment. That is something you can't have going on. I mean, you know, if you get in some kind of shoving match in practice, that might be one thing, a locker room type thing or something in a dining hall. But you're talking about on board an airplane, regardless of you charter or commercial, not that you can't have that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Good hearing from you, Anthony. I figured Anthony was going to be calling in and scolding us for not mentioning high school action, which with both Auburn and Opelika. Well, I'll tell you what, the region did pretty darn good. The 7A region is extremely strong.
So it's Auburn-Thompson on Saturday night?
Yes,
it is. On Friday?
Yeah. Auburn hosting Thompson Friday night at the Duck. Meanwhile, Opelika travels north. They are at Hoover. Yeah, so I mean and I mean, Auburn won 63-27. Omar Mabson, the orthopedic clinic player of the week with his 5 rushing touchdowns. But, I mean, Auburn will be taking on a Thompson team that they thumped Daphne 50-0. Blanked Daphne 50-0. I mean, there were some blowouts in 7A. Central, did you see the Central score? Central beat James Clemens 70-14.
They're starting to heat up a little bit.
Oh yeah, and then Opelika handled Florence 43-7. So I mean, you had just some dominant performances. Opelika's got Hoover, who beat Fairhope 35-10. So the matchups will be in addition to the Auburn Thompson and Opelika Hoover, it'll be Enterprise and Baker. Enterprise beat Austin 32-21. So, again, this region, very, very strong. Yeah. And then Central takes on Vestavia.
And Auburn-Opelika could end up in the championship.
Absolutely, they could. So. Of course, people in Birmingham are saying Hoover and Thompson could wind up in the championship game. I mean,
Be decided here this weekend.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I like the way that they have done that and moved it around. Yeah. Where the two best teams in a region have the opportunity to make it all the way to the finals.
That's nice.
That's I believe that's just in 7A.
I like that too.
All right, 334-321-1390.
Are you here all week? You're here all week, right?
Yeah.
That's the plan? Okay. I'm going to miss Wednesday, Thursday. The Trojans going up to Chattanooga for a game against the Mocs. Troy looking for their first win of the season. 0-3, but look, they start the season with 8 games away from Trojan Arena.
And how many miles? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. Yeah. No.
Did you guys get to fly? Now, from Denver, did the flight just come to Atlanta then?
Okay, so let's I haven't told the story
too much. Because last time we talked to Denver on the show, talked to Dan on the show, Denver Dan, you were snowed in Denver.
So here's what happened, and it's nobody's fault. I'm not angry with United Airlines for not accommodating us or anything, but here's what happens. So we had a flight from Bozeman to Denver with a connecting flight going Denver to Atlanta, and we were going to drive from Atlanta to go home. And then the next day, they were going to go from Troy to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama on Sunday.
Okay.
So Friday morning, we are a little bit delayed leaving Bozeman because of a winter storm. We arrive in Denver. Flight is scheduled to leave at 9:40, but the airport has issued a thing saying no planes are taking off until 10 a.m. We arrive in Denver. Our director of basketball operations gets to the gate at 9:29 a.m., and they close the door in front of her. And say, sorry, plane is, we've booked all the passengers we're going to book on this plane. There were 25 of us going to Atlanta on that flight from Bozeman, including people who weren't part of Troy's party. There were 25 people trying to fly from Denver to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And United, we couldn't get on that plane. And then, because of the weather, that plane with the door closed sat in front of us for about 90 minutes before they took off.
And there was room on that plane?
Our 25 seats were empty. Yeah, on that plane. But they would have had to deplane, and they would have had to put everybody with that kind of number. I guess they would have had to deplane, put everybody back on. Didn't want to do that, so and then there was a question of how long it was going to take to get us out of Denver. We decided to book a new flight to Birmingham via Southwest Airlines. Our bags all went to Atlanta on another United Airlines flight. So some folks from the team went to Atlanta with some vans and drove them to Birmingham. But no, we were able to board the Southwest flight. Our flight to Atlanta.
I was worried that you guys might have to go to Chicago before you came back.
Our flight to Atlanta was supposed to leave at like 9:30, 9:40 in the morning. We missed that. We hang out in the airport until we board our Southwest Airlines flight to Birmingham at 7 p.m.
That's good. Nothing like 8-9 hours hanging around the airport.
7 p.m. We get on that plane. They announce that there is a problem with the auxiliary power and maintenance is coming to look at it. So we wait about an hour 15 or so. They give us the all clear after an hour 15. And then, because of the storm, you go through about an hour of de-icing before your plane can take off in Denver, because you got to drive. They got to taxi that plane pretty far from the airport itself. Denver's got huge runways, and then the de-icing procedure is not brief. They had to hit you with all the orange. It looks like orange Gatorade. They're dumping it, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't taste like orange Gatorade. What they're dumping all over the plane
I would say you don't ever want to even find out what it tastes like.
I can't.
The last thing you taste.
I can't imagine you would want to find it. So then we get in the air around. I would say we took off like just before 10 p.m.
Only 12 hours, little around 12 hours behind.
Land in Birmingham, bus to Tuscaloosa, and then stay the night in Tuscaloosa. Friday night, stay the night in Tuscaloosa. Saturday night, play the game, Tuscaloosa Sunday, and then drive home afterwards. So I was, by the time I got home, Bill, I was pretty, I was as punch drunk, I was as delirious. And then I go and record that podcast with Ferg about an hour later. So that's if you want to
a really entertaining one.
Yeah, I mean it's I'm not sure what from that podcast is real and what I dreamed. So it's but it was it's great to be back.
It's good to have you back for a couple of days. Again,
tour's not over. The tour is not over.
Coach Don Dunn will be in on Wednesday, and Ferg should be in on Thursday.
Yeah, we got Chattanooga on Thursday night. We got LSU in Baton Rouge a week from today. We've got Anchorage for the tournament. That's next week. That's the end of next week. I got to go to D.C. for the family issue as well. The family event up there, which I'm looking forward to, and eventually I'll come home. Like, I'll be back at some point after having been to, and then we'll do Thanksgiving, and then we'll do and then we'll talk about the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we're just a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving. That's hard to believe.
No, I will miss. Yeah, no, I will. I mean, once I take off, well, I'm going to be back on Friday, I think, this week. But then I'm going to miss pretty much all of next week, and then the week after that's Thanksgiving week.
Man, the year is flying by.
And Don Dunn.
Don Dunn
will be happy to talk about Thanksgiving stuff, too, because that's a very busy time for our good friends and countries.
My favorite holiday. Always has been.
What has to be on the plate, Brian Matthews?
For me?
What has to be on the Thanksgiving plate?
Turkey dressing gravy has to be on the plate.
Okay.
I don't care about it. I mean, I care about it.
Is there a veggie getting a call or a?
I mean, I'll eat some green casserole.
Cranberry sauce guy?
I even tried it again last year.
Try what now?
Cranberry sauce.
Oh no.
Because I've never liked it, but I've always
liked it.
But my taste changed as I age. Like I tried it last year. Maybe I'll try it again in a few years, but still hadn't
gotten there. Mine has too. There are a couple of other things.
Also got to have pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Have to have it.
And sad news. No more Cosgrove pumpkin pies this year. Steve wanted to.
Oh.
That tradition of, I think, around 50 years.
Wow.
Salute to Steve Cosgrove. Yeah. It was getting to hundreds of pies.
Yeah, he was doing, yeah.
That's a lot. Now, yeah. I make pumpkin pies, but I'm happy to make like two at a time.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm getting hungry now. So let's get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in.
It's like the old Max Howell show. We'll just do a dinner, like a what's for dinner segment.
Yeah. And
what's for vittles?
We could. I mean, we could do that now that it's dark and it feels like it a lot more than just a couple of weeks ago. All right, we're back with our final segment. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
For loving expert care.